It's funny how many of those things there are in parenting where you're like, well, we're going to give it our best shot and pray that God makes it work out.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Todd is out of town tonight, folks, so it's just me, your beloved co-host, Scott. And that means that I can release this episode doing whatever I want. I have taken over the airwaves. There's nothing Todd can do about it. He can fire me afterwards, but he can't stop this episode from coming out, so let's get to it. And tonight, I have with me the one, the only fellow family man, Steve Howe. Hey, Steve, how's it going?
It's going good, because I'm not Todd, and Todd's on vacation.
That's right. We've taken over the airwaves. He can't stop us now.
And now he might actually listen and go, what the heck are they doing?
So it's been a while since you and I have talked.
Like talk. It's, I think it was the last Family Man rally.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. So how's the family?
They're good. My oldest son's married, got married in August. So, oh no, my wife's saying, no, he didn't. He got married in September. Anyway, it felt like several months ago.
Yes.
So, but yeah, they're good. Our youngest now is 12.
Wow.
Then we have 13, and the oldest is 22. And he lives about 20, 25 minutes away with his wife.
Wow.
So, but no kids yet.
Okay.
There are no grandkids.
No grandkids, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as you might have heard, we have one on the way. So.
I heard. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's it's pretty exciting. I'm still getting used to the idea of being a grandpa, but that's okay. I got a little while to get used to it. It's sort of like, you know, when you're becoming a parent, you get to have a few months to get used to that idea too. So,
well, I told my son, I said, you know, we made your grandparents at about like 41, 42. So come on guys, get moving. Now.
It's funny. I'm the youngest of four and I'm the first one. I was the first one to have a kid out of me and my siblings. And I was 28 when I had my first kid. So I was like, you know, I gave you guys plenty of lead time. But now I'm the first one to have a grandchild from my parents, too. So,
well, that's good.
I was always in competition with them, you know, trying to outdo them. So,
well, I think we had all four of our kids before my next sibling even had one.
Wow.
So my oldest nephew is 3. And so, like, our kids will be off and possibly all married with kids while their kid will just be getting out of high school.
Wow.
So that's fine. I remember all the stuff they did to my kids when they were little. So when we get them, you know, we'll do that stuff.
Exactly.
So how are things out where you are?
Good. Yeah. You know, it's the craziness of family life and trying to make ends meet and all that. I was just literally a half hour before we got on the air here. I was fighting with our little basement fridge. It's not really necessary for us to have this, but we bought it for my daughter when she went off to college and she only stayed for a semester, so we just decided to put it in the basement and have a little drink fridge down here. Well, it's been clicking for a day or two, and I finally was like, what's going on with that thing? And I opened it up, and sure enough, all the ice had melted in the little freezer part, and you know, there's water dumping out on the floor, and I was saying words I shouldn't say, and, you know, and I had to clean it up, and it was a good time. So I think that thing's probably bit the dust at this point, because I'm not really going to spend a whole lot of money trying to fix it. I did a quick Google search, and it's probably the compressor or the coils or something. I don't know.
Is it all dusty down there?
Oh, it's a little dusty, but, you know, I don't know if that's really the answer or not.
Because I know occasionally ours, I got to blow it out with an air compressor and suck out the dust of the vacuum, and that keeps it going.
That's what it said online, is that, you know, you should do that. And I'm like, I don't know. I usually take the lazy approach and just throw it out, you know? Like, ah, it's not working, honey. Throw it out.
Well, we had our own basement issue this week.
Oh, no.
Our roof's been leaking for a couple of years, a little bit. And I think I finally figured it out. And so we had a heavy rain and we weren't thinking about our basement. We were looking at the roof. And then I go in the basement the other day and it was flooded.
Oh, no.
Like the water was already receded, but I could see everything was soaked down there.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out roots got into our drain pipe that goes out to the ditch and probably got a quarter inch to half inch in the whole basement.
Oh.
So I've spent since then with fans going and the dehumidifier going out to the road and trying to pull all the roots out, putting root killer down the drain.
Yikes.
That stinks.
Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I don't want to do it again. I'm so sorry, man.
So, I mean, I was kind of ready for it. This is the fourth time it's happened. Last year, I went out and bought one of those drain augers myself from Harbor Freight so I could do it rather than pay the guy the couple hundred bucks. But I just did it last December, and I would have thought it would have lasted a year. So I wasn't, you know, I had the stuff. I just wasn't expecting it to happen now.
Dude, you're a beast.
Yeah.
I give up much more easily.
Well, every time I hear about you and your lawnmower issues, I think I have the same lawnmower issues. I wish I had a smaller lawn too.
Yes.
I think our lawnmowers ran five times all season.
Wow.
Either the belt's been broken, the battery went, the blades got bent, the housing that the spindles go on for the blades, both of them blew up. So every time I get it fixed, it break somewhere else. For a while, we were using a neighbor's brush hog to cut our grass.
Good way to do it.
Yeah, it worked. Just didn't look pretty.
So maybe you have some experience with this. I know you work on your car some, don't you?
Yeah, because I deliver mail, so I do most of my work so I can save the money.
So the last time I had my car in for an oil change, they told me I needed new spark plugs. And I'm thinking, I've changed a spark plug on my lawnmower. How hard can it be on the car? But then I looked up a video on it, and I'm like, I got to get down in the guts of the engine to get to these things. Have you done anything like that?
I have, actually. I've had a couple of Jeeps, and the Jeeps were really easy to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I had one car where the dealership told me, it was a minivan, the dealership told me I needed a special tool to roll the engine back. And I went to a different shop. And they said, no, you just take off your wipers and that little grill and you can reach them from there.
Huh.
So it's not hard. It's like changing them on your lawnmower. You know, you get them, you make sure they're gapped and you put them in. It could just be a pain in the butt to get to them.
Yeah.
But you do it once, then you know how to do it again. And you probably never need to do it again, too. So you could look at it that way.
That's the thing. Every time I do something new on my car or whatever fix-it thing it is, I'm like, well, I feel somewhat better as a man because I managed to conquer it, you know, if it works. If I spend,
well,
you know, 8 trips to Home Depot and I'm ready to punch a hole in the wall by the end of it, then I don't necessarily think I'm doing much better. But when, you know, like when I did my brake pads, I'm like, wow, that was really a fun 3 days, but at least I know how to do it.
And the second time, it should take you a day and a half, then you go down to an hour.
Yeah, it took me a couple hours the second time, but I only did 2 of them the second time. I didn't do all 4, but anyway, it's a lot easier now.
Well, there's been several times where I get over my head, and then I go to my wife and say, I can't do this, and I call the mechanic the next morning and say, can you fit my car in? He'd say, sure. I said, by the way, like, the wheel's just barely hanging on because, you know, like, I took it all apart and couldn't get it back together. He said, oh, that's no problem. And then I have AAA tow it over there. AAA is handy if you want to do your own car repairs and you screw it up.
Yeah. Well, we've covered the car repairs and the other things that are breaking. How's family life? Are there any challenges you're dealing with there or anything you want to say? Hallelujah. Praise God for this.
Well, I don't know how much I can say because my wife's over there in the kitchen behind me.
I know how you feel.
But we were really thrilled our oldest son got married.
That's awesome.
Because after our middle son died years ago,
yeah,
he had issues and we ended up kicking him out. When you guys were talking about someone wanting to kick their son out of the house, I was listening to the whole episode thinking, I've been there. We did that. And he had some issues. He didn't want to deal with some things. He made some really poor decisions. We told him he had to go. Actually, I told him he had to go the first time. But after several years, he's actually grown spiritually and emotionally. And he realized a lot of the stuff he did was stupid. So like him getting married was a big thing for us, where it's like, you know, my parents, my siblings kept saying we were making a horrible decision, telling him he had to leave the house. And they didn't believe us when we said, you know, it's not safe with him here. And then now they're looking back and saying, well, I guess you guys were right. And we said, well, we didn't kick him out because we didn't want him here anymore. We kicked him out for a reason. And he learned his lesson. So him getting married, him and his wife got a place soon before they got married. So that was a really big deal.
That sounds like the hard work of being a dad right there, man. I don't want to delve too deep and, you know, ask for details that shouldn't be shared, but how did you come to that point where you were able to just do that, do the tough love thing where you had to tell him that it's time to go?
It got to the point where we actually didn't feel safe with him in the house anymore.
Gotcha.
Like, not that he was going to kill us, but the decisions he was making were bad decisions that were affecting the house. And I think it was, we told him he had to be out by his 18th birthday. Because our rule was before that, if you want to go to college or you want to get a job, you can stay here. That's fine. We just don't want you sitting home playing video games all day. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't want to follow any of the rules of the house. You know, it was like, be back by 10, because I got to be up in the morning for work, and I don't want to go to bed before you get home, just in case something happens. So we would purposely ignore that stuff, and then it just escalated from there. And he got an apartment, realized how expensive an apartment is, and how his decisions were negatively affecting him. So eventually we let him move back in, because he joined the military. He has signed up for the Army Reserves, and so we let him move back in. And then he did his boot camp and he came back. And then my wife actually kicked him out and said, all right, you've been here 3 months. I'm tired of you. You need to go.
Alrighty.
But he got into a different apartment and, oh shoot, that was a year and a half ago, 2 years, something like that. So yeah. It wasn't one of those things where, oh, we just don't want him here because he's 18. He needs to go.
Sure.
It was, if you don't go, we're worried something bad is going to happen.
So if anybody's asking questions about this with your own son, instead of asking Todd or me, because we obviously don't know what we're talking about, call Steve, ask him. He knows how to handle this stuff.
Yeah. And I can, I mean, like, people at work knew what was going on. Our family knew what was going on. It's not like it was hid that much. It's just, it's an awful lot to go to just, you know, in a simple podcast.
Sure.
But yeah, we already told our other kids, 12 and 13, it's the same thing. You know, you can stay here if you want to go to college or get a job or work on a career or something. But we just don't want you here playing video games all day once you're, you know, getting to the adulthood.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I applaud you.
Again, like several years ago, we weren't sure how this was going to turn out.
Yeah. It's funny how many of those things there are in parenting where you're like, well, we're going to give it our best shot and pray that God makes it work out. We don't know if this is going to work out the way we hope it will.
That's exactly what it was. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We'll just, I mean, there'd be days my wife would be like, what if we made the wrong decision? Yeah. And it would be, I don't think we made the wrong decision. So again, it's amazing how he's changed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think he was one of those kids that just needed the responsibility.
So are you guys good now, like between you?
Oh yeah. We're good friends with his in-laws. We think his wife is awesome. He comes over, you know, they come over every couple weeks or once a month or something like that. So yeah, they live like 25 minutes away. We've been to their house a couple times. So him moving out also relieved a lot of the stress that we had in the house from him being here. You know, what is it like? It's called young buck syndrome or something like that, you know, where he wants to stand out on his own, and dad's like, well, we still have rules here.
Yep. Well, I wasn't planning on us talking about that, but thank you for sharing. And if you decide you want to cut any of that out, please let me know.
Oh, no. That's perfectly fine. One of the things I like about the show is that you guys talk about stuff that happens to me or, you know, other people I know.
It's funny how we're all in the same boat, man. All us dads.
I know we could be in different parts of the country and we're like, yeah, we've had that too.
Yep. And if you haven't been there, you'll probably get there at some point. And, you know,
hopefully, because I would think if kids are too easy, then maybe you have, you know, too low of expectations on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're always doing what you want, you know, maybe it's like, maybe you don't want them to do much. And I would like my kids to make better decisions than I would.
Yeah, my kids are already way better than I was, so at their respective ages.
I don't even tell my kids what I did when I was their age, specifically so they can't say, you did it this, Dad. I'm like, I don't want to hear that one.
There are strategic times when it's time to say, hey, you know what? I did worse than that, and don't tell anybody else, but you're not getting any condemnation from me, son, because you're doing great. And
yeah,
I've done much worse. Please don't beat yourself up, you know? And then you thank God that you have a son that cares that much. And
yeah. On a lighter note,
yes,
my daughter's been wanting to go to this haunted hayride in the next town over.
All right.
So she shaved up. You ever been on one of those?
A haunted hayride.
Yeah.
And I'm plenty of hayrides. I don't know if everyone on a haunted one or not.
It's something they do for Halloween.
Gotcha.
You know, you get on, they have guys jump out at you. Like they take a trip at night and they have guys jump out at you and all that stuff. My daughter's been wanting to go and she convinced me to go. And I was like, I don't like that stuff. I don't like getting scared. It was actually pretty cool. So, awesome. Dads, if you got a kid who wants to go on something like that and you're like, yeah, I'm not into that, it was actually pretty cool.
How old is she?
She's 12.
Okay.
So, and then once the actors realized she would scream, they kept going after her.
Right.
It was like, you know, you go on a hayride, but it's at nighttime and there's people hiding in cornfields and stuff. And they had the guys with the chainsaws that chased after the hayride, and then you go into like a haunted house kind of thing, and it was pretty cool. Awesome. She had a really good time.
Cool.
She wants to go again, and I said, I'm not made of money, honey.
We took my oldest when she was little. I mean, she was like 2 or 3, and it was at the local park. They have a little like petting zoo, they have animals and stuff there. And they had set up some sort of Halloween thing. It was like a little maze in the hay, you know, like hay bales and stuff set up, a little maze.
Yeah.
But they had somebody, and I mean, there were lots of little kids. So I don't know what somebody was thinking when they set the thing up, but they had some dude jumping out, scaring the little kids. And it's like, buddy, and my daughter just screaming, crying, you know? And I'm like, seriously, dude, somebody thought this was a good idea. So we never went back to
it. How old was your daughter at the time?
She was like 3.
You know? Oh, yeah. They're petrified.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't meant for teenagers and adults. This was supposed to be for little kids. So I was like, what the heck were they thinking? Anyway, but it's that time of year for Halloween stuff. So if you're into that stuff, there's the trunk or treats, there's the haunted hayrides. And
yeah, we usually don't do much for Halloween. My daughter and has been going out with my son. And before, you know, they got married, his fiance. This year, she's going out with a woman and some little kids we know. Mm-hmm. So she got like this inflatable alien costume. So sweet. She'd be like, you've seen those inflatable dinosaur costumes?
Yeah.
Same thing, but she's an alien and she's kidnapping herself.
Love it.
It's actually pretty funny looking because we said nothing scary.
Yeah. In our house, we've always kind of had the rule that Halloween is for little kids to dress up cute in costumes and get candy.
Yeah.
And yet half our neighborhood sees it as their opportunity to create a horror movie set in their front yard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? That's not my thing. If you're into that, have fun, but not my thing. That's my 2 cents for this week. Well, we've used up most of our time here already. Holy mackerel.
All right.
Anything you wanted to talk about that's just on your heart to lay on for the guys?
I've been trying to think of dad news, but I haven't really seen any dad news.
I saw one little story. I was looking that up before we got on here. There's a dad who got his 5-year-old daughter a fake, like a temporary tattoo sleeve on her whole arm. And apparently the school wasn't thrilled about that, but social media thought it was just awesome. And the girl looked like she was thrilled with it. So I don't know if that's really a good move for the dad or not, but you know, his little girl loved it. So it can't be too terrible.
At 5, I got my daughter a rifle.
Hey, there you go.
But she didn't take it to school.
I haven't seen the cat ever since, but you know.
Yeah, I actually do like reading some stuff about dads in the news. Oh, shoot. This was months ago. There was a dad in Buffalo, New York, whose daughter had her lemonade stand stolen.
Wow.
So the dad went out and built her a whole big lemonade stand.
Who would steal a lemonade stand?
I forget the details of it because so long ago, but like she had a little lemonade stand and I think someone just came up and took all the money and the stuff and left. But that was actually really nice to see because there's not that many stories of dads going up and doing stuff like that in the news. I mean, I'm sure it happens. I've seen it. It's just, that's not what makes the news.
Right. Well, it makes it onto our news. So there you go.
See, as a promotional plug, that's why everyone should get a Family Man calendar because there's all kinds of fun stuff like that in it.
Right on.
There you go. And with those the trivia, I like that. My wife's getting frustrated with the trivia because she tries to figure it out, and then I already know the answers because I dread so much of them.
That's awesome. You know, I usually get a calendar every year, and then I end up like using the pages to write notes on and stuff, and I forget to read them. So then I'll read a bunch, and you know. I'm not very disciplined at looking at it every day.
So I have it hanging up next to my sink in the bathroom. And then what my wife does is she peels off the current day at nighttime and then sticks it, that little piece of paper in the bathroom. So we do have notes because we do the same thing.
Very cool. See, you're better at this than I am. I don't do anything the right way.
I have to set up all these systems. So I do it, you know, it's there because if it's not there, I'm not even going to see it. If she forgets to take off, one time she forgot to take it off for a couple of days and I thought it was the wrong day of the week. I get to work. I'm like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, it's Thursday or whatever. I'm like, no, it's not. It's Tuesday. No, it's Thursday. I'm like, my calendar says Tuesday.
Well, at least you didn't get to work on Saturday thinking, wait, why is nobody here?
Or I do work Saturdays. So
well, Sunday, no whichever.
I have off Mondays, which for a mailman is awesome because Mondays are the heavy day.
Awesome. Well,
alrighty. Do you got anything you wanted to mention?
I do have several projects I'm working on that I probably could use some prayer for. I got to get rid of an old oil tank before they work on our basement. And it kind of looks like I might be able to do that myself, but I'm not sure.
Like one of those heating oil tanks?
Yeah, it's in our basement. Some of them are underground, which sounds really expensive to get rid of, but mine's in my basement and it looks like I might be able to do it. There's a thing called a Sawzall. It's like basically a saw that can saw through anything.
Oh yeah. I have one of those.
Yeah. Well,
again, when you break lots of stuff, you need tools.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I buy them, you know, slowly as I go, I've been buying stuff, but I got to siphon all the oil out that's left in it. That's years old and worthless at this point, but needs to be recycled. Then I got to cut the thing up and clean it out and then recycle that somehow. And it just sounds like a way bigger project than I can do, but it can't be.
It's not
that
full,
hard.
Is it?
It's about half full.
How many gallons?
I don't know. Too many.
Do you know anyone who like works at a local school or something like that?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I know when I worked at the school, we would get 5-gallon buckets all the time of cleaning chemicals. Okay. And then when we're done with them, we just dispose of the buckets or give them away. And if someone had 5-gallon buckets, you could just dump, you know, get your oil dumped into the 5-gallon buckets. That'd be a lot easier to get out of the house than another way.
I figured I was going to have to buy a bunch of buckets like that. That's what the guy on YouTube used anyway. So I figured I'd have to buy them or find them from somewhere. So yeah, I'm going to have to figure out a way to do it. It's just one of those things that's on my list of like, oh goody, something else I have never done and need to deal with. So. Welcome to being a dad, folks. This is how.
So then you must have heated with oil then, huh?
We did. We changed over when we got a new furnace. This was years ago now. So, I mean, it's been a while that we've had this.
You know what? Is it kerosene or is it oil?
It's oil.
I'm wondering if you can find someone in your area who would take it for free because they want to burn it for a heater or something.
Yeah.
Like a lot of mechanics out here, the oil they take out of cars, mm-hmm. they use it to heat their shops in the wintertime.
That's not a bad
So there might even be a mechanic or something who would just tell them, hey, if you heat with oil, I got tons of oil. You can take all of it.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to do it.
According to the oil company, it's not useful. I find that hard to believe, though. I think somebody ought to be able to burn it or something, but I don't know. Anyway,
it's
that's
probably a regulation.
Yeah, probably. All right. Well, Mr. Howell, thank you so much for joining me this week. I got to think of something to say to wrap this up and say you to Dad at the end of it. I'm not sure how to do that. Todd's so natural at that, you know? Guys, keep on dealing with those kid issues. Keep on dealing with those hard-to-complete projects. And do it because, say it with me, Steve, you to Dad.
You to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Stand up. You may think it's hard to think the way I am, but it's a godly thing to be a family man. A family man. A family man. A family man.
So you say you're the family man.